Here in Srimad Bhagavatam, 10 subjects are described. Number 1, the creation of the ingredients of the cosmos. Number 2, the creations of Brahma. Number 3, the maintenance of the creation. Number 4, special favor given to the faithful. Number 5, impetuses for activity. 6, prescribed duties for law-abiding men. 7, a description of the incarnations of the Lord. 8, the winding up of the creation. 9, liberation from gross and subtle material existence. And 10, the ultimate shelter, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The 10th item is the shelter of all the others. To distinguish this ultimate shelter from the other 9 subjects, the Mahajans have described these 9 directly or indirectly through prayers or direct explanations. This chapter, Adi Lila, chapter 2, Sri Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is establishing the authority of Sri Krishna Bhagwan as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the source of all sources, the cause of all causes, the one without a second, the one who is beginningless but yet is the beginning of everything. And he is the supreme controller of all other controllers. That is the purpose of this second chapter, to establish this as an irrevocable fact by stating Shastra, quoting Shastra, and quoting other great Mahajans, and giving evidence that is either direct or even indirect. In other words, he is going to establish his thesis that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead from the Shastra and from the Mahajans, the Mahabhagavats. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. These verses from Srimad Bhagavatam, 2:10, second canto, 10th chapter, 1 and 2, these verses here, list the 10 subject matters dealt with in the text of the Bhagavatam. Of these, the 10th is the substance, and the other 9 are categories derived from the substance. These 10 subjects are listed as follows. Sarga. Sarga is the first creation by Lord Vishnu. The bringing forth of the 5 gross material elements, the 5 objects of sense perception, the 10 senses, the mind, intelligence, false ego, and the total material energy or universal form. This is called Sarga. In other words, like a father may bring so many building blocks for his little boy. What do they call it? Lego? Right? And then the boy builds some castle or something out of the Lego pieces. So that's called Sarga. In other words, all the ingredients are given so that Brahma can do his Visarga, or creation. Visarga is number 2, the secondary creation, or the work of Brahma in producing the moving and non-moving bodies in the universe. The universe is the Brahmanda. Without the ingredients given to him, would Brahma have been able to create anything? No. We see the scientists today are like Lord Brahma. They're taking the ingredients that are here, all the material elements, and they're mixing them, combining them, slicing and dicing, and coming up with something and then saying they've created it. But take away the ingredients and they're helpless. Prabhupada said, if you're such a good scientist, then create a chicken. He said, we have an egg. You open it up, there's just 2 ingredients there, the white and the yellow. All the chemical components are known. Now the chicken can produce another chicken. I challenge you, Prabhupada said, to produce a chicken. Otherwise, the chicken is a better scientist than you. Anyway, that challenge has still been has not been accomplished yet. They've still not been able to create a chicken, even though all the chemicals are there, all the ingredients are there, right in the egg. Now you make a chicken come out of that egg the way the hen does, but they cannot do. So the hen, Prabhupada concluded, is a better scientist than the so-called bluffers. So Lord Brahma was not a bluffer. He established and told everyone that actually that you give me the credit for being the creator, but actually I haven't created anything. I just took everything and just did what I was told to do. Because in the beginning, I had no idea what to do. I was bewildered in the darkness. And so I was wondering, what happens now? And I heard the sound, ta-pa. Ah, ta-pa. Austerity, penance, meditation. Right then. So I went into meditation for thousands of your earth years. And then the sound of Krishna's flute entered my ear. Chaito-darpana-marjanam entered into the heart, purified my heart, and I was able to understand what was to be done. Therefore I always say, Lord Brahma is explaining to Narada Muni, because Narada Muni came to Lord Brahma, and he wanted to know, who is the supreme? Who is number one? Who is the first candle that lit all the other candles? And the reason I'm coming to you is because you were there in the beginning. All of us came later, but you were actually there. You're the only one who knows. Lord Brahma said, very good question. And his answer was, Ishvara Paramakrishna, Sachid Ananda Vigraha, Anadiradi Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. The supreme controller of all other controllers. There's so many Ishwaras, and the Ishwara of the Ishwara, in other words, the Paramishwara, is Sri Krishna. And he has a transcendental form, Vigraha, Satchit Ananda, which is eternal, full of knowledge, full of bliss, not like our form. Anadi, he is beginningless, but Adi, he begins everything. And who is he? He's a coward boy playing a flute named Govinda. Sarva Karana Karanam, and this Govinda is the cause of all causes. So Lord Brahma is not like the scientist, but he recognizes his actual position. And he recognizes Krishna's actual position. Third point, by the way, this is called the Das Mool in Bengali, the 10 root subject matters to be understood. Sthana, the maintenance of the universe by the personality of Godhead Vishnu. Vishnu's function is more important, and his glory is greater than Brahma's and Lord Shiva's. For although Brahma is the creator and Lord Shiva the destroyer, Vishnu is the maintainer. We create in a burst of inspiration, positive inspiration, and we destroy in a burst of negative so-called inspiration. But maintenance, that's something that you carry on over time. It's not a moment. It's not a burst. But it's a long-term consideration. So here again, Vishnu. Vishnu is maintaining. So Vishnu gives the ingredients. Vishnu instructs Brahma how to create using those ingredients. And then Vishnu comes and maintains everything that Brahma's created. Because after Brahma created everything, he went home. They had a rest. It's hard work. Vishnu said, don't worry, I'll maintain everything. Poshana. Poshan means nourishing. Nourishing means to take special care and protection for devotees by the Lord. As a king maintains his kingdom and subjects, but nevertheless gives special attention to the members of his family, so the personality of Godhead gives special care to his devotees who are souls completely surrendered to him. Should I repeat that last line? The personality of Godhead gives special care to his devotees who are souls completely surrendered to him. So now we know the definition of devotee, someone who is completely surrendered to Krishna. And those people who are completely surrendered to Krishna, Krishna gives special attention, as if they were members of his own family. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna states this again and again and again. You want some shlokas, some proof of what I just said? You're all looking at me like, we want proof. 10:10. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayanti te. This is exactly what is stated here in the purport, this shloka. Krishna says, Tesham satata yuktanam, anyone who's constantly engaged. Well, that includes all of us. We're all constantly engaged in something, whatever it is. Bhajatam, worshipping. Hey, we're still included. That's why we joined this movement. Priti purvakam. Purvakam means with full or complete, with complete love. Whoops. Are we still included? Do we still qualify? Well, we do, if you look at it. Because priti means the kind of love that a junior has for a senior. In other words, the kind of love that a child has for a parent, for example, or that the servant has for the master. That's priti. See, in Sanskrit, we have many, many words for all the different aspects of loving affairs. Whereas in English, you only have one word, you know, to describe all of them, which is, it fails. So that's priti. Sneha is a different kind of affection. Prema is another kind of love. Mahabhava is another kind of love. The kind of love that Mother Yashoda has for Krishna is not priti. That's how a senior loves a junior. Sneha, that love. Prema. Prema is the love of the devotee for his beloved Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. That we can aspire to. All these other priti, sneha, prema, we can aspire to. But mahabhava, that is the love that only Radharani expresses for Krishna. That love is so profound, so deep, so all-encompassing, that even Krishna has difficulty understanding that love that Radharani is offering from her heart to him at every moment. Mahabhava. Only Radharani can come to this stage. But we can come to the stage of prema, Krishna prema, which is just below Radharani's love. So you see that in the Sanskrit language, love is such an important consideration that all the different degrees of love have their different names. And you can understand when the word is used, what is the relationship? What is that particular loving relationship? So here we have the loving relationship of priti, priti purvakam. So anyone who's constantly engaged, now are we constantly engaged? How many people chant Hare Krishna every day? That means we're doing it constantly, day after day after day after day. So we qualify. We come in here, we offer obeisances to Radha Gokulananda. That's priti. We're the junior, they're the senior. Is there any doubt about that? I don't think so. Then what happens? Didami buddhi yogam tam. Krishna says, I give that pure intelligence of yoga, the pure intelligence of bhakti yoga, Why? Yena mam upayanti te, so that you can come to me. Krishna wants you to come to him. So this is poshanam. He's maintaining, he's nourishing. Nourishing means you give nourishment. So that nourishment he's giving in this verse is the buddhi yoga, the pure intelligence. So we'll know what to do and what not to do. Many times when Prabhupada saw people acting in an irrational way, he said, they don't know what to do, they don't know what not to do. But when you're Krishna conscious, you know what to do, and you know what not to do. But that is Krishna conscious. Prabhupada told me in 1975, first become conscious, then you can become Krishna conscious. And then he said, don't be Krishna unconscious. You probably haven't heard that term. Because, you know, I haven't found that in any of his books and anything, but I heard it directly with my own ears. He said, don't be Krishna unconscious. Krishna unconscious means you do everything without being there. Like automatic pilot. You just press the button and the plane flies itself and you can go out and have a cup of coffee with the air hostesses. So, Krishna unconscious. So, my favorite example, we want to know what is Krishna unconscious. Okay, I'm going to tell you right now what Krishna unconscious is. You're chanting your japa, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Rama Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Rama Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. And all of a sudden you come to the end of the round, the end of the big Krishna bead, and you can't remember, how did I get here? Anybody had that experience? That's called Krishna unconscious. We were somewhere else, unconscious, and the mantra went on. Somehow we trained up the fingers to keep pulling these things and the lips to keep, you know, babbling away. And then we come to the end and we come back to consciousness. Oh, I just finished the round. I don't know how it happened, but anyway, boop. One more counted. So Prabhupada said, don't be Krishna unconscious. First become conscious. Then you can become Krishna conscious. So that was something I remembered, well, since 1975 to today, 35 years. I was always focused on that, always conscious about that, because Prabhupada spoke it right there in front of me. So, we have to become conscious in our chanting, because this is when we are actually associating with Krishna. Who knows what japa really is? We think that japa, I mean, many of you probably think that japa is my sadhana that I do every morning on the order of my Guru Maharaj. Who thinks that that's the definition of japa? Only two people. What do the rest of you think then? Okay, let's hear some other definitions of japa. Okay, let me ask the question again. Is that the definition of japa that we just said? People here are afraid to commit. Well, this is what japa really is. It's your one-on-one, personal, private darshan with Krishna. To make that clear, imagine this scenario. One day, Guru Maharaj's servant comes up to you and says, Guru Maharaj wants to see you in his room. Me? He wants to see me? Yeah, he called for you. Wow. You're all excited. Knock on the door. Come on in. You go in and there you are, just you and Guru Maharaj. He's speaking something, giving some instruction, whatever. You're sitting there fully conscious, hearing everything he's saying. You come out of the room 10 minutes later. Everyone says, what did he say? That's your private one-on-one darshan with Guru Maharaj, right? So your private darshan with Krishna is the japa. It's just you and Krishna. You sit here, close your eyes. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Now, supposing when you're called in for your one-on-one private darshan with Guru Maharaj, and he's speaking to you, and your mind carries you away on the thoughts of this or that or whatever, and then Guru Maharaj says, "So what do you think of that proposal?" And you have to say, "Well, actually, Guru Maharaj, I was kind of spacing out. Could you please repeat that?" How do you think he feels? Disappointed. Would he think we were spaced out? Would he think maybe that we were being rude? Would it maybe be considered an insult? So why are we doing this every day to Krishna? This is what you have to ask yourself. There is a remedy. The remedy is to become conscious. Because once you become conscious, you can become Krishna conscious. Anyway, that's a whole subject by itself. And we don't have that much time, and you do want to hear the other six, the rest of the purport. So anyway, that's poshanam. Krishna's nourishing us by giving us the intelligence of yoga. That means to become Krishna conscious, to be conscious of everything that Prabhupada has given to us, coming in parampara. We have all the tools we need. We've been given the entire process, everything to be successful. So that at the end of life, we go back home, back to Godhead. Because that was the mission given to Srila Prabhupada by Sri Krishna. Go down to the material world. Establish Lord Chaitanya's mission worldwide on planet Earth. And bring these conditioned souls back to the family. We're all the family members. Krishna wants his family back home. That's Prabhupada's mission. That's why he named his first newspaper Back to Godhead. Then it became a magazine, Back to Godhead. Back to Godhead. Anybody heard that phrase before? That's our goal. That's why we're here, to go back to Godhead. But what happens if you don't go back to Godhead? What happens if you take birth again? Then another verse applies to you. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militang Jena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. If you take birth again, you are born in the deepest darkness of ignorance with your eyes closed shut. What does that mean? It means that everything you know today, you forget. As soon as you're born, and you're in your mother's arms, you forget everything. She has to feed you. You forget how to eat on your own. She has to bathe you. She has to clothe you. You can't even walk. You can't talk. You can't read. You can't write. You can't even speak. You have no idea. You just babble certain syllables trying to talk. You've forgotten it completely. Om Gyan Timirandasya. Ignorance, agyan, timirandasya, in the darkness. You don't even know how to go to the toilet. You forget that. For 3 years, you have to wear Pampers, isn't it? Nappies, they call it here, right? So each and every one of us, we've been given the free choice by Sri Krishna, by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada, to go back home, back to Godhead. We have that option. We now have all the tools. We have the process. We can now go back home, back to Godhead. But there's always a choice in the material world. So you're either going back to Godhead or back to nappies. That's your choice. Back to Godhead or back to nappies, back to Pampers. You think it's funny? It won't be when you're in those Pampers. How many people want to go to school again? Nursery school. You ready for that? Back to Godhead or back to nappies? Choice is yours. So Krishna is giving us every opportunity. Sarva dharman paritya ja. Forget about all those other dharmas. Mam ekang, make me number one. Sharanam, surrender to that. Vraja, wherever you go. And then ahang tvang sarva papebhyo. I will take away all your sinful activities. Who knows what that means? Ahang tvang sarva papebhyo. Has anybody ever thought about that? Sarva, all. What does all mean? It means past, present, and future. All your past sinful activities, your pap karmas, Krishna cleans them. All the present ones, Krishna cleans them. And all the future, but you haven't committed them yet. What future ones is he talking about? The ones that are lying in seed form in your heart. You haven't committed yet, but you will. Unless you surrender to Krishna and make him number one. Krishna wants to be number one in your life. We don't have time to go through every single verse, but I'll go through another one. Ananyas chintayanta mam ye jana paryupashyate tesham nityabhi yuktanam yoga kshemam vaham yaham. Ananyas chintayanta mam. Don't have any other thought except for me. That means mam ekang, make me number one, right? Isn't it? Have no other thought except for me. Ye jana paryupashate, any person who worships me in that mood, tesham nityabhi yuktanam, I consider such people to be always connected to me. Yoga kshemam, and I protect their bhakti yoga. I protect what they've done, what they have, what they've accomplished. Vaham yaham. Vahami means to carry. And I carry what they are lacking. Here we are back to poshanam. Okay, you're lacking this? Don't worry. I'll supply. This is Sri Krishna. So Krishna really wants to have a relationship with us. He wants us to make him number one in his life. So many verses in Gita. Krishna wants each and every one of you to make him number one in your life. Now why does Krishna want you to make him number one in his life, in your life? Why does he want to do that? Is it because he's lonely? No. Okay. Maybe Krishna has low self-esteem? Well, then why? Well, we know that he has love for you. But why number one? Yeah, exactly. He wants to be number one in your heart because you're already number one in his heart. You are number one in Krishna's heart, and he's saying, can I be number one in your heart too? And what are we saying? Think about it. Give me some time. I need time and space. I don't want to make any rash decisions. That's us. Problems with us. Anyway, Krishna is our best friend. Poshanam, he keeps maintaining us, nourishing us. In this way, if you think about it, for millions of births, Krishna has been your secret admirer. Your secret admirer. Waiting in the wings. While you go here and there till you finally just turn around and say, I've tried them all. You know, I've been to the east, I've been to the west, but Krishna, you're the best. Uti is number five. The urge for creation or initiative power that is the cause of all inventions according to the necessities of time, space, and objects. This is a subject matter of the Bhagavatam. The urge for creation or for any power to initiate anything. And that this is the cause of all inventions. According to time, place, and circumstance, desh kal patra. And this is coming from Krishna. You all know that famous story. Shruta Kirti tells it, that he was on the plane one time with Srila Prabhupada. And then after they'd served out everything and everyone had eaten, devotees had taken their prasad, they put on the movie. So Shruti Kirti said, okay, here comes the movie. Movie is Maya. Let me close my eyes, shut my ears, chant Japa, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Ignore the movie. He's chanting Japa. He's hearing the music and everything. And all of a sudden, he hears Prabhupada chuckling. And then Prabhupada's laughing. He opens his eyes and looks. Prabhupada's watching the movie. He's shocked because he always thought movies are Maya. So it happens to be a Charlie Chaplin movie. Prabhupada's enjoying it. So then Shruta Kirti asked Prabhupada about this. Prabhupada said, yes, when I grew up, I liked very much Charlie Chaplin. So Shruta Kirti says, but my understanding was that this is Maya, has nothing to do with Krishna. And anything that doesn't have to do with Krishna is Maya. Everybody agree with that? Yeah? If it doesn't have to do with Krishna, it's Maya, right? We're all on the same page. So Shruta Kirti presented that to Prabhupada. And what was Prabhupada's answer? That Charlie Chaplin displayed a unique humor that was so profound and so different and unique than anyone else that it was a spark of Krishna's splendor. That it was Krishna's energy. Otherwise, no human being on their own without Krishna's Shakti could be so innovative and so creative and so original and so humorous at the same time. So Prabhupada saw it with an eye for Krishna consciousness. Anyway, that's Uti. Number six, Manvantara. The regulative principles for living beings who desire to achieve perfection in human life. The rules of Manu, as described in the Manu Samhita, guide the way to such perfection. So regulative principles are there for all living entities in different traditions, different situations, different civilizations, different cultures. Prabhupada refers to the Manu Samhita. We have our Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. We have our regulative principles coming in Parampara from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the six Goswamis. These are the principles to regulate our life in such a way that we are preparing ourselves to go back to Godhead. Because if we don't prepare ourselves to go back to Godhead, what happens? We go back to nappies. So this is called Manvantara. And the personalities, the Manvantaras, they're called Manvantaras, Manus. We're right now in the Vaivasvata Manu. He's our Manu right now. And we follow these. He's the guide. These rules, these principles to guide us to the goal. Ishanukata. Isha Anukata. Isha means the controller, the supreme. Scriptural information regarding the personality of Godhead, his incarnations on earth, and the activities of his devotees. Scriptures dealing with these subjects are essential for progressive human life. Isha Anukata. So this is the Harikata, Krishna Kata. Topics about Krishna, hearing about Krishna Nam, the holy name of Krishna, Krishna Rup, the beautiful forms of Krishna, Krishna Guna, beautiful qualities of Krishna, Krishna Lila, the beautiful pastimes of Krishna, Krishna Dham, the beautiful holy residence of Krishna, Krishna Sandesh, the wonderful teachings of Krishna, Krishna Bhakta, the wonderful devotees of Krishna, Krishna Prasadam. We have a very special relationship with Krishna Prasadam. It's also Krishna. You know, we come here into the temple room, we take darshan of Radha Gokulananda, probably the most beautiful deities on planet Earth. The only other deities on planet Earth that may compete with Radha Gokulananda might be Radha Nandanishwara. So here in London, you pretty well can't go wrong. But you know, when they close the curtains, the darshan is over. That's it. When they lock up the temple at night, the darshan's over. No matter, you may want more darshan, but that's it. The conch blows and the curtains close. But with prasadam, that's another darshan of Krishna. Not darshan through the eyes, but darshan through the tongue in the belly. And when the conch blows, you also go, but you take that darshan with you. You take it with you wherever you go. For the next 3 or 4 hours, that darshan's with you. So it's a longer, more deep and profound darshan. Then there's another darshan for the ears, which is Harinama, Harinama, Eva Kevalam, Kalona, Steva, Nasteva, Nasteva, Gatiranyata. The Maha Mantra is another darshan for the ears and the tongue and the consciousness and the heart. And that darshan you can have 24 hours a day. Therefore, Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. Lord Chaitanya says, this is the supreme conqueror of illusion. This is the ultimate darshan. Srinam Avatar. Srinam Prabhu, who has descended so that we can have 24-hour darshan with Krishna, so that we can have our private, one-on-one, intimate darshan with Krishna every day, where we stop all social interaction and we're just alone with Krishna. That's japa, right? Yeah? We agree? Is that japa? Yes? So if that's japa, then what is kirtan? People, everyone here does kirtan? Okay, he has. What is kirtan then? Collective japa. Well, does that make sense? I mean, if it's your private one-on-one, so we're all having our private one-on-one collectively. Is that your idea? We're all in the same room, but we're all privately with Krishna, right? Well, I suppose that's a valid point. shows that he's thoughtful. One must be thoughtful. One must understand the teachings. Thank you very much. Anyone else know what kirtan is? What with Krishna? Partying with Krishna. Sounds like more fun. You're on the right track. Well, here's how I see it. Oh, go ahead. We have another hand. And his devotees. It's a party. Well, I see it like this, that it's our Ras Lila with Krishna. Because we're all dancing and singing, we're all like the gopis, and each of us has our Krishna because we have the Maha Mantra. So it's like Ras Lila. And japa is like just you and Krishna in the kunj together. Now, if you can envision that, if you can visualize that, if you can enter into your japa in that consciousness, and if you can enter into the kirtan in that consciousness. Remember in the Ras Lila, every gopi was thinking how wonderful this is because I have Krishna with me. Krishna is with me only. And it's true, because when you chant the holy name, you have Krishna with you only. And the more intensely we chant that holy name, the tighter is our embrace with Sri Krishna. The more lovingly we chant that holy name, Hare Krishna, the more we're in the embrace of the Lord, tighter and tighter, sweeter and sweeter, closer and closer. The increase of love, reciprocation. So, from the Ishanukata, from the instructions coming from the Mahabhagavats and from the Shastra, we understand these principles. We have the tools. We have the process. All we need is the understanding. Then we can apply. Like, for example, this Shastra. How many people in this room would say that the Shastra is simply theoretical? How many people would say it's practical? How many people are too tired to raise their arms? Well, I'll tell you something. It's theoretical. Everything in Shastra is theory until you apply it. Then it becomes practical. So it may be practical for one and just theory for another. How much are you applying? It reminds me one time when one gentleman came to see Prabhupada in Bombay. It was a darshan. And then during this darshan, this gentleman raised his hand. Prabhupada acknowledged him. He said, Swamiji, I have memorized the entire Bhagavad Gita. I can recite the entire Gita by heart in 1 hour. Prabhupada said, that's okay. No, he said, that's all right. That's what he said. That's all right, but can you live Bhagavad Gita for 1 hour? Can you live Bhagavad Gita for 1 hour? Just reciting it is theory. Living it is practical. The eighth principle discussed in the Bhagavatam is Nirodha, the winding up of all energies employed in creation. Such potencies are emanations from the personality of Godhead who eternally lies in the Karana ocean. The cosmic creations manifested with his breath are again dissolved in due course. We all know, there it is right here in this photo, the painting, Karana Dakshayi Vishnu lying on the causal ocean, and as he exhales, so many universes come into being, into manifestation, and as he inhales, they all become unmanifest again into his body. So Nirodha means the winding up of all energies that are employed in creation. It also means death. That's the winding up of our energy. So we wind up our energy, and then our next is either back to Godhead or back to Pampers, and we start again. So what does back to Godhead mean? That's number 9. The 9th principle discussed in the Bhagavatam, mukti, liberation of the conditioned souls encaged by the gross and subtle coverings of body and mind. When freed from all material affection, the soul, giving up the gross and subtle material bodies, can attain the spiritual sky in his original spiritual body and engage in transcendental loving service to the Lord in Vaikuntha Loka or Krishna Loka. When the soul is situated in his original constitutional position of existence, he is said to be liberated. It is possible to engage in transcendental loving service to the Lord and become Jivan Mukta, a liberated soul, even while in the material body. Even in the material body? Because the definition is when we're situated in our original constitutional position of existence. Then we are said to be liberated. Does everybody agree with that definition? Liberation means you're situated in your original constitutional position of existence. Do we all agree with that definition? That means, in modern parlance, in ISKCON parlance, that means das, 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 anudas. Servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. Then we're in our original constitutional position of existence. Now, what if you're not in your original constitutional position of existence? What's the Sanskrit word for that? What? No, when you're not in your original constitutional position. What's the Sanskrit word for that when you're not? You all know the word. You probably use it every day. Maya. So you're either in your original constitutional position or you're in Maya. It's two choices. You're either back to Godhead or back to nappies. It's only two choices. And we already agreed that to be in the original constitutional position means das, 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 anudas. So if you're not the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant, then you must be in Maya. Because you're not in your original constitutional position. If you can be in Maya and be living in the temple. And you can be fully liberated in the body, in the material realm, because your consciousness is das, 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 anudas. Because that is your consciousness. Because you're conscious. Therefore, you can become Krishna conscious. But if you're unconscious, first become conscious, then become Krishna conscious. So unconsciousness, if you're Krishna unconscious, right? You're just doing everything by rote. You're not really thinking. You don't have full understanding. You come to the end of your japa and you don't even know how you got there. From this Krishna unconsciousness, can we get Krishna prema? How many people say no? No, you can't, can you? So then why are we doing it that way? I come here to get Krishna prema, but I'm doing it wrong. Because the way I'm doing it, I'm not going to get Krishna prema. In Sanskrit, that's called shrama eva hi kevalam. Simply a useless waste of time. Shrama means waste. Eva means certainly. He means guarantee, and Kevalam means only. It's only a certain guarantee that you're wasting your time. Who knows, who remembers that shloka where the last line is Shrama Evi Kevalam? If Anukamptam, it's stated that whatever you're doing, if it does not open the heart and bring out divine love for Krishna, who is glorified by beautiful shlokas, Shunvata Svakata Krishna, if that doesn't bring out our love and our admiration and our complete surrender to Krishna, then whatever we're doing is Shrama Evahi Kevalam, simply a useless waste of time. Because you won't be going back to Godhead, you'll be going back to Pampers. And then it was a waste of time. Now, how many people in this room have a firm conviction that this is their last life and they're going back to Godhead in this life and nothing's going to stop me? How many people have this mood? Just two of us? Okay, there's a few others now. Ladies, what's happening? Because if you don't have that conviction, you're not going to get there. If you're thinking, well, maybe next life, then it will be next life. It's back to Pampers. And you'll forget everything. You have to start from scratch. Why do I say start from scratch when Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that there's no loss or diminution? Am I wrong? Is Krishna wrong? Or are we actually agreeing, but from a different perspective? Yeah, whatever you do in this life, it's in your bank balance. And eventually when you come back to devotional service, that's where you take off again. But what about all that time in between that's lost? All that energy, learning how to, what we call it, potty training? Learning how to go potty, how to eat, how to dress, how to tie my shoelaces, how to learn the A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P. Who wants to go back to that? So you really have to get serious. And how to get serious? So mukti is number 9. There is a way. There is hope. There's a process. Here are the tools. And number 10, ashray, the ultimate shelter. Prabhupada says the transcendence, the sumum bonum, from whom everything emanates, upon whom everything rests, and in whom everything merges after annihilation. That's the ashray. We have my godbrother, Bhagavat Ashraya. He's taken complete shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What a name. And he's living up to it. He's very dedicated, very sincere, very hardworking. Nothing's going to stop him. He's determined. This is my last life, going back home, back to Godhead. So Ashraya, he is the source and support of all. The ashray is also called the Supreme Brahman, as in the Vedanta Sutra. Adhato Brahma Jigyasa Janma Jasya Yataha. Srimad Bhagavatam especially describes the Supreme Brahman as the ashray. Sri Krishna is this ashray, and therefore, in Hindi, ashray, but in Sanskrit, ashraya. Sri Krishna is this ashraya, and therefore the greatest necessity of life is to study the science of Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam accepts Sri Krishna as the shelter of all manifestations because Lord Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the ultimate source of everything, the supreme goal of all. This is very interesting. Prabhupada says, Bhagavatam accepts Sri Krishna as the shelter of all manifestations. Why does Bhagavatam accept it? Because Sri Krishna is the ultimate source of everything. In other words, it's the real deal. There's not going to be some new and improved understanding tomorrow or in the next millennium. This is it. The summum bonum, the topmost. Raja Vidya, Raja Guyam, Pavitram Idam Uttamam, Pratyakshavagamam Sarmam, Susukam Kartum Avyayam. This is the topmost knowledge, the purest knowledge, the most confidential knowledge, the most transcendental knowledge. And how do we realize this knowledge? Directly from within the heart. Pratyakshavagamam Dharmyam. Directly perceived. We sing it every morning. Chakudano dilaye janme janme prabhu se divya gyan, divine knowledge. Hride, from the heart. Prakashita, becomes manifest. How does that happen? I thought my guru gave it to me in his books. Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto matta smitir jnana bhupovanam cha. Krishna says, I'm seated in everyone's heart, and from me, in the heart, comes knowledge, comes remembrance. Or, if you want to enjoy Maya, forgetfulness. Choice is always ours. Krishna always gives the choice. You know, verse 1863. In the Gita, Krishna says to Arjuna, now I have described to you confidential knowledge and even more confidential knowledge. You deliberate on this and then do whatever you want to do. No force. Do as you wish. Make your own decision. But in 1864, he said, now I'm going to give you the most confidential knowledge. First confidential, then more. Now I'm going to give you the most. You listen carefully, because I'm speaking this for your benefit, Krishna says. So just to finish the last paragraph of the purport, Prabhupada says, two different principles are to be considered herein, namely ashraya, the object providing shelter, and ashrita, the dependence requiring shelter. That's us. The ashrita exists under the original principle, the ashraya. The first nine categories described in the first nine cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam, from creation to liberation, including the Purusha avatars, the incarnations, the marginal energy or living entities, and the external energy or material world, they are all ashrita, dependents requiring shelter. The prayers of Srimad Bhagavatam, however, aim for ashraya tattva, the truth of ashraya, the one giving the poshanam, the shelter, the maintenance, the support, everything. In other words, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. The great souls expert in describing Srimad Bhagavatam have very diligently delineated the other nine categories, sometimes by direct narrations and sometimes by indirect narrations, such as stories. The real purpose of doing this, however, is to know perfectly the absolute transcendence, Sri Krishna. For the entire creation, both material and spiritual, rests on the body of Sri Krishna. Now we have heard this. It is entered into the ear, into our consciousness, and into our heart. And this is called information. We have this information now of the 10 principles that are being taught in the Srimad Bhagavatam. We also have information that the first 9 principles are the ashrita, or they're dependent on the 10th principle, the ashraya, the support, the object providing shelter. We all have that information now, yes? When does that information become knowledge? Sorry? Okay, when it's understood, when we put it into practice, that means we've understood it. Well, people have understood it, put it into practice, and then they left, went back to... So it means that they didn't really understand it. Yeah. They thought they understood, or we thought they understood, but it wasn't real understanding because they gave up. You know what they say in America? Quitters never win. And winners never quit. You know what else they say? Every saint has a past. Every saint has a past. And every sinner has a future. Every sinner has a future. So, your future is bright. Take this information, live it, just like Krishna said, like Srila Prabhupada said to that gentleman, can you live Bhagavad Gita for an hour? Let's live these teachings for more than an hour, and then it becomes knowledge. Okay? When does knowledge become wisdom? When we give it to others. Perhaps. People who have given it to others have also gone back to the material world and just think that Srila Prabhupada was a nice old gentleman from Bengal giving his own religion. So that doesn't mean they had wisdom. When is it wisdom? When does knowledge become wisdom? Well, when it's been applied for a very long time, it may also still be knowledge. There's no guarantee it'll become wisdom. It may be, or it may not be. Well, hang on, let him finish. Sorry? When it can change many people's hearts. Okay. Sorry? In the mood of surrender. Someone here? When it's realized. These are all correct, but can I give another meaning? My understanding, wisdom is when your every thought and your every word and your every deed is the same. That's wisdom. Now you become living truth. You're not just speaking about it, you are it. Your every thought, your every word, your every action is Krishna conscious, fully Krishna conscious. That's wisdom. So we're meant to be there. And it's not difficult. Because the Maha Mantra does all the work for us. All we have to do is allow it to enter into the ear so it can enter into our consciousness and purify our heart. It will do all the work. We just have to open up and allow the mantra to come in and take over our life. Take over our heart. Take over our consciousness, take over our motivation. And then, Cheto Darpana Marginam, all the anarthas disappear. What happens when all the anarthas disappear? Well, you become a pure devotee, is what happens. You become so attached to Krishna, you develop such a taste for Krishna, your bhava, you're always just fully in emotional ecstasy about Krishna, and then gradually just prema, divine love. So this is the process of Krishna consciousness, explained in a nutshell by this verse. Very nice verse today. Nice verse today? We've learned a lot today, yeah? Very wonderful. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki. Any questions?